Hey Marie, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Dean.
Thank
So
you.
glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining. I know how crazy busy you are. You know, for those of you listening, Marie, I've known for years, and I've been able to watch her close up and from afar. And Marie, I just want to say, you know, how proud I am of what you've done. I mean, there's a difference between being a good marketer and creating a company compared to creating a company from your heart, wanting to change people's lives. And the success you've had is incredible and so well deserved. You know, you're a coach, you're a speaker, you're an author. Marie TV is just off the charts. But I just want to ask you one question, because I love that quote, or you have it written, I've seen it, where you said, if Tony Robbins, Richard Branson, Oprah, and Jay-Z had a love child, it would be you. That is so cool. In fact, it's so cool it aggravates me because I can't steal it, because that is so brilliant. You know, with all the incredible things that you've done and the lives that you've touched all over the world, if someone, because here's what I know, sometimes I'll do a presentation and I'll have to come out and say, I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I've done this, I've done that. And it almost feels weird to brag about yourself, right? At least for me. But if you walked in a room and somebody saw you and said, oh, that's Marie Forleo, what would you love them to say about you?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know if I've ever been asked before. Probably the thing that means the most to me when I have the opportunity to meet folks that have watched Marie TV or done one of our programs or somehow have interacted with what we've created, when they tell me that something we've created has sparked them to take control of their life, to create something they never dreamed they would actually be able to create, to make a change in their own life that they've been dreaming about, but for whatever reason, never had the courage or the confidence to really make happen. And when they say something sparked in me as a result of interacting with what you've created, that means the most to me. It's not really about what they say about me. It's more about that connection and the catalyst that comes from it, and you know, the changes that they create in their lives. That's what moves me the most. That's what drives me, is watching people really understand their own potential and then not just understand it, but actually take action on it and make substantial, real, meaningful change happen.
You know, I knew that would be your answer, and it reflects in how you share from your heart. You know, and anybody listening right now that has their own business, remember, when you put the feelings, the heart, and the emotions of your clients, whoever they are, first, the byproduct is your company grows. You know, so many cases people go and want to learn the last sales widget, and do you put a red arrow on your page, and all these little tricks, other than just going deep and wanting that from your client is that transformation, how they feel. So anyway, I appreciate you sharing that. I wanted to take a couple minutes and just honor you for all the great work you've done. Oh, and I just got off the phone a minute ago with Brendon Burchard, and he's like, tell her I love her. So it's he had the same admiration for you and said, you're rocking and rolling. So here's what I want to interview.
Thank you.
Here's why I wanted you on this call. It's so important. I've already done a handful with great people, and it wouldn't be complete without talking to you, is I've just spent the last year just going through my whole life, my own personal evolution and my success, and being fortunate to touch, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people all over the world, and read and post. And I'm trying to boil down. I hope that I'm the guy that can create recipes for people. I've done it for years with real estate and all the other kind of training I've done. And I want to create a recipe for people to jumpstart. Same thing you do. And I've just gotten obsessed with knowing, without confidence and without the right state of mind, people just don't go anywhere. Even if they fake it for a moment, but then those beliefs and the different things that hold them back and kill their confidence, they'll just go back to a life that they're not happy with. So in these interviews, what I'm asking, and I've already done an interview with Tony Robbins, both of us know him very well, and Brendon Burchard, and later today is Rudy Rudiger from the movie Rudy. I always loved that movie, so I figured I'd interview him, right?
Awesome.
So it's great, because I've asked them, and I've gotten different reasons. So at a 30,000-foot level, what does confidence mean to you for your success, or how you help other people, and what has it meant in your life?
So I have an interesting relationship with confidence. It's paradoxical. And often when people ask me about it, which I'm sure we'll get there in this talk today, for me, confidence really is about doing the thing that you most want to do including the fact that you're terrified about it.
Right.
Including the fact that you're like, I have no idea if this is going to actually work out. I don't know if I'm going to fall flat on my face. This could be a complete waste of time and energy. And there's a really high likelihood that I may look like a goofball
right.
doing whatever it is I'm going to do. So my relationship to it has always been one of this. And this is what I often tell people that I work with. Confidence, and this is maybe a little bit contrarian to perhaps what other people have shared, but I often think it's overrated because so many of us feel like we need to gain confidence before we can do the thing that we want to do or take that action or make the risk. And for me, confidence is actually a byproduct of taking action.
Right. It's a byproduct of courage.
Yes. And so, you know, most often for me, even, you know, yesterday I was in a full day shoot and we've been shooting a lot of things lately. I've got a couple new programs coming out. And every time I get on set, I'm nervous. Every time.
That's awesome, though.
Every single time. Like, I feel the butterflies in my stomach. I literally say to my crew, you guys, I am so nervous right now because it is the truth. I mean, maybe there's one day that perhaps I haven't had a ton of sleep and I'm just like, okay, I got to do this. And I don't even have the bandwidth to feel, you know, nervous.
Yep.
But 9 times out of 10, I'm still shaking in my boots. I'm still insecure. I'm still somewhat doubting, like, do I have what it takes to do this? Do I know what I'm talking about?
We all do.
Yes. So that whole confidence thing for me has just been, if I waited to feel confident to do anything that I do, I would be waiting a very, very long time.
I'm going to share a story with you in a second. I just experienced that 3 months ago, or a month and a half, or 2 months ago. I went with Tony Robbins, good friend. He says, come over to China and speak. I head over to China. I have to follow him on stage, first of all, which is like, seriously,
yes.
There's 15,000 people filling a whole basketball like stadium up. He's got the place going nuts. They don't speak English, so they all got the little ears set in their head. And Tony's like, and he talks about me for 10 minutes. And here's my buddy, Dean Graziosi. I literally was standing behind there ready to puke. Like there was a part of me going, I'm just running. I'm not going to go out there. I'm just not going to do it. But what I realized in that circumstance and so many others is you do it anyway. And,
yes.
And whether you call it courage or not, what I've been teaching people is if you can get in the right state of mind, whether that's courage or feeling empowered or reminding yourself, and we'll get on that the right state of mind leads to the courage and confidence to actually go on that stage, to go in front of that camera, to start that new company, to walk up, to change your relationship, to go to the gym, like all those things don't happen with the wrong state of mind and no courage or no confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
And so with that, you still went and did your show. What gives you that state of mind to do it anyway, Marie? I mean, what makes you go, you know what, that's just not me. I'd rather do something that doesn't make me feel that way.
Yeah. So what gives me really that state of mind? So there's a couple of things. I am a person of my word. So when I make commitments, you know, it takes a lot for me to break a commitment,
Yep. Really
a lot. And, you know, those rare occasions when I have to do it, I'm always honest about what's happening. But 99.9% of the time, if I said I'm going to do something, like we've scheduled time in the studio, so that means, you know, I have a whole crew showing up. Not only is there a financial commitment, but there's emotional commitment. You know, I'm taking mm-hmm. time out of other professionals' lives, and that means something. So I got to bring my A game. When I think about the folks that I want to make a difference to, you know, it's like, well, I can't just lay in bed and, you know, watch Game of Thrones all day. It's like, I am here and these people are depending on me. And I take that responsibility very, very seriously. And the other thing for me too, is it's a bit of a game that I love. I love challenging myself. You know, in a former iteration of my career, I was a Nike athlete. And often in that role, I would have to challenge myself to perform physically beyond what I thought I was capable of doing. And even though it was in the dance realm, I remember, you know, one particular event that I was helping to run in London. It was a dance event. It ran from like 8 8 a.m. to about 7 p.m. at night. And it wasn't like I taught one dance class. I think I taught like maybe 7 or 8 classes back to back. And this is hip hop and Latin. Yeah, so it wasn't just like, you know, not that any dance is simple, but it certainly wasn't just like, oh, let's just sway from side to side. And at the end, we had a huge performance with like 7,000 people that I had to help lead. So this idea of challenging myself also helps me because I like the game. I like that game of going, okay, I have all this fear in my body. I have all of these thoughts. I have all of these, like, I don't think I can do this. And I like that game of going, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Watch this. Like, here we go. So that's a little bit of fun for me too, is really playing with that and not taking it so seriously. And also understanding 9 times out of 10, for many of us, not all of us, but for many of us, the things that we're up against aren't really life or death. They're the life or death of our soul, but it's not like we're necessarily going into, you know, an ER and about to operate.
Right, right. No, and that makes me think, you know, I just read the book. Did you read the book Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill?
No, I haven't.
Great book. Great book. He wrote it in the 30s and he just published it a couple of years ago. But he talks about this hypnotic rhythm. And I never heard those words put together that way. And I think of hypnotic rhythm here because let's talk about some of the things that maybe in your past or you see with other people that robs your confidence. And what I see is some people, you know, they have this hypnotic rhythm of a story, just what you're talking about. Like if you went on camera, no one's going to die if you screwed up on camera. No one's going to, you know, the crew is not going to come behind the camera and flog you. You know what I mean? Like, but we get these stories that rob our confidence and we don't even realize they play like a loop in our head. So I just want to see what do you see out there in the world or you in the past robs your confidence? That's kind of a pattern.
I think one of them is having more attention on yourself and how you're doing versus having attention on making a difference. You know, there's this really simplistic principle that I use a lot for myself and my own life, and I share it with others. It's this idea that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So in any given moment, you've either got your attention on delivering your message, writing that email, making the phone call, actually being present to whatever the activity is that you're doing at the moment, and all your energy is outward, right? Yeah. So you're just constantly engaged with the outer world and giving something. Now, the other state is you've got all of your attention on yourself. How do I look? How do I sound? Am I doing okay? Is my posture okay? I can't do this. I suck. So the whole attention, energy, and conversation is directed at you. And I find that you can't really hold both of those states at the same time. Yeah. So the moment that you catch yourself, you know, to use that phrase, hypnotic rhythm, if you happen to have your attention on yourself, like whether or not you're doing okay, I shouldn't be doing this, who am I to create this, who am I to say this, you have to just pause and redirect your energy to the present moment into engaging in an activity. And for me, I find that's a really, really practical useful practice, because it is, it's an attention and energy shift. And if you actually are paying attention to serving, creating, doing the thing that you want to do, you have no space to listen to that story. It fades so far into the background, it becomes virtually non-existent. And so that's also a really fun tool and a fun game that no matter what the story is, because here's the thing, if any of us pause long enough, Dean, that voice comes in. Our stories will fill in. If we're not actually engaged in what we're doing, our attention has no other place to go other than to listen to that voice in our mind that says we suck, that says we can't do it. And so it's a really fun and cool game to train yourself to stay engaged, which again keeps you taking action. And then the byproduct is confidence.
Yeah. And you know, those stories sometimes go really deep for some people, right? We both know people that have had a failed business 20 years ago and they're just stuck with businesses fail, or a failed marriage and marriages fail and they never dive back in. So going a little deeper, I mean, that's like a hack, right? At the last minute, you stop focusing on you, focus on the outcome, and you can get through it for a moment. But kind of switching or killing that story can go like a step or two deeper, so confidence can be more available at all times, not just when you really need it, right? So when you're teaching, and you've done so well of sharing and teaching so many people, how do you get people to get rid of that old shit story, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Dean. I have really seen for folks, and again, everyone has such a different approach to this, and you know, there's over 7 billion people on the planet, and what works for some people doesn't work for others. For in my experience, when I get folks to keep taking action and to keep doing things, they don't have to spend that much time necessarily rewriting that story. Because for some of my folks, and again, this may just be the folks that I seem to attract, they'll come, and if they want to spend a lot of time kind of processing or, you know, digging mm-hmm. through those things, that I find can be useful to a certain point. And then at some point you got to say, you know what, it's time to like either, you know, shit or get off the pot.
No,
we can talk
it.
About our stories all day long. We can go and dig in them, and we've all got them, right? We've all got those experiences that kind of sear into our minds that we can use as proof to say, look, nothing works out. The marriage never works out. You know, the businesses, they always fail. Or we can say, okay, is that always true? No, it's not. We can always find proof out in the world or even within ourselves of a possibility that we know that we could encourage or follow. And again, for me, it really does come back to taking action. But those stories, I mean, if you listen to those, Dean, all of us have them. I'm getting too old, or I'm too young.
Absolutely.
You know, those can go on forever. And I really do find it can be as simple as continuing to train yourself to not give attention. You know, Eckhart Tolle, one of my favorite authors.
I love that book.
One of the things that's the most powerful I've ever learned from him is you have a mind, but you are not your mind.
Marie, I'm not saying this to rob you. That was the greatest lesson I've ever learned from Eckhart. From one of the greatest lessons in my life is to be the observer of your thoughts, and you're not your thoughts.
Yes.
And to give that to somebody, I mean, in my own, I don't mean to jump in here, but in my own personal evolution, I just wrote a 1-year goal that I hope in a year that it's almost natural that my soul, whatever you want to call your soul and your brain, and you know, two different, your thoughts, that I naturally edit the wrong thoughts without having to go and analyze it. And I'm literally practicing that because we all have that. I mean, how many people do you talk to and they don't realize, I'll say, hey, how's everything going? Ah, oh, good. But you know, the president with it, like they'll all have this immediate story and they don't realize that's robbing them from the life they deserve. It's robbing them from unleashing their true potential. And anyway, I didn't mean to jump on a tangent there, but those two words, that whole being the observer of your thoughts and you're not your thoughts, when you get that, life changes forever.
Yes. And to tag on to your point about the story, that's why for me, it is so incredibly simple and so profoundly powerful that when you get that underlying idea, you have a mind, but you're not your mind. When it comes to that story and really unwiring it and having it lose its power over you, the underpinning of recognizing that loop is going to play your entire life. And the more energy and attention you give it,
yep,
that's how loud it's going to be. But the more you shift your energy and attention to being present, to taking action, to just being, to, you know, observing nature and enjoying the clouds and the beautiful sun or the rain, or just being with your family, that story literally recedes to the back of your consciousness. It loses all power over you. You're like, oh, that old thing, who wants to pick that thing up again?
Right. Right. And you know, I think this is kind of a myth, but I've talked to so many people about confidence and state of mind and courage in the last year, just because, you know, like you, I just want to give people the recipe to get there quicker. It's not about digging in and going through 5 years of therapy. If there's a switch you can flip and start changing today, right? Not putting focus on your old story, your life. I just want to give people the quickest path.
Yes.
And so many people will say, well, I just wasn't born with confidence. And I think people think it's like confidence is like a power plant. It's like energy, right? You make energy, you make confidence. A power plant doesn't have energy. It makes energy, right?
Absolutely.
And I'd love to just get your thoughts on that. And like when people say that, how maybe how you would start training somebody if someone wanted to take baby steps to change their state, get more courage, to find the confidence to do that thing. What is kind of a path you would take somebody who's scared to death right now?
So I think for me, understanding and giving yourself a set of rituals, you know, that support you each and every day, and for all of us, that's going to look different. One of the most transformative practices in terms of getting yourself into a state where not only you hear your intuition, you can start to make the distinction between your higher self, your soul, and the kind of monkey chatter in your mind is meditation. I know it doesn't work for anyone. I have people on my team who've tried it and they're just like, you know, it's not really for me. And I get that. I started meditating when I was 17 and it's made a profound difference on who I am as a human being and my ability to take focused, consistent action, action that's not based out of reaction or just trying to power through something, but also to have the courage to speak up, to take those next steps. So if I was training someone and they were just scared to death, I would support them in helping them develop some non-negotiable habits each day that would give them a grounding in themselves so that they could start to take that grounded, courageous act every day. It could be about just sitting. You know, for me, my meditation is 10 minutes a day. Did it this morning. You know, I was pretty exhausted. This week has been an intense week, but I said, you know what? I'm going to do my 10 minutes. I don't care how good I am at it. I'm going to do it. And then that's going to set me up for the rest of the day. I know that may seem a little bit like, what is she talking about? But here's the thing. When it comes to confidence and taking courageous action, so much of that is going to have to come from what you believe you should do. Mm-hmm. Though being able to hear and distinguish your heart's call, the how your intuition is speaking to you, that small voice inside that says, you know what, pick up the phone and make that call, or this is the next action to take. It may not come from a book. It may not come from, you know, an audio or any program that someone like Dean or myself or Tony or Brendan or anyone produce. But when you're able to listen to yourself and to the higher guidance within you, that kind of gives you your marching orders to be courageous, to take those acts. So I would say meditation's number one.
Marie, before you go to number two, that is so profound and so true. And first of all, everybody should write that down. I just did non-negotiable rituals. Is that what you called it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That's so like, there needs to be non-negotiable rituals in your life. And I agree on the meditation. You know, I just started meditating in the last 3 months of my life, and I've been going to do it for 20 years, Marie. Right. And we all have our own patterns and our own rhythms, and to sit with yourself in this crazy busy world that our phones are attached to our hip, everything comes at us, you know, we're getting data and subject lines coming to us faster than ever before in history, and we're processing it. What happens is we get sucked into being the thermometer rather than the thermostat, right? We're in defense our whole lives. It's looking in your inbox of your email and waiting for the shit or the crap so you can fix it rather than being the conductor, right?
Yeah.
And when you meditate, this is so amazing. This is my fourth interview and it's four different unbelievable strategies, and each of them are going to resonate with a certain percentage of the people who are listening. But
yes.
Meditation that I just have started has completely transformed things. Like even when I think I'm the busiest and I'll take a transformation and just do a 10-minute meditation and I feel like I slept. I'm awake and my thoughts are clear. So one quick thing on meditation, someone listen right now that was maybe like me for 20 years. I thought my brain was too busy. I couldn't shut it down. What would you say would be the first step for someone to try to meditate? Is there a certain meditation you do? Is there something online they could watch? Is there something that you would just recommend?
Absolutely. Well, I think first of all, there's so many different styles and flavors of meditation. And just like any other practice, just like when people ask me about going to the gym and taking a dance class, I'll say, hey, you should actually try out a few different teachers and try out a few different studios, because each one is going to be different. And you may not find the one that you like the first time out the gate. So don't judge it too quickly. So I'll tell you what I do. And it's something, again, I learned from a teacher when I was 17. It's a woman named Claire Diab, and she actually teaches with Deepak Chopra. So I got really lucky that I got a good teacher initially. And all you do is you sit. It's important that your spine is upright. So whether you're sitting on your feet or on the floor, or you prefer a cross-legged position, whatever feels comfortable for your body, you close your eyes and you just repeat a simple phrase. And some people focus on the breath, the in and the out. I repeat a simple phrase that's called So Hum Namah. And for anyone who just speaks English, like I do, it's a series of sounds in Sanskrit that to us don't really mean anything. So it's hard to get hooked by, you know, just saying whether, you know, some people try and use a word like confidence or abundance or, you know, gratitude or something like that. And for me, I really like the Sanskrit sound because I don't have an association with it and I can easily come back to it. And literally, I set my iPhone 10 minutes. I'll sit there. Sometimes I'll play some calm meditation music from Pandora in the background. Sometimes it'll just be nature, depending on if I'm in the city or, you know, if I'm outside of the city and what I feel like that day. And I'll just sit and I'll keep silently repeating that sound. So hum namah. And anytime my thoughts kind of grab me to go make a shopping list or, you know, my to-do list or think about a project, I'll redirect it to silently repeating that sound. And it's just a fantastic practice. And I always tell people, look, your mind is going to kind of go nuts at first. And you just want to think about it that your thoughts are almost like these clouds passing over. Mm-hmm. And if you imagine that, you know, when you're laying on the grass and you look up and you just kind of watch the clouds pass over, you don't resist them. You don't like try and make them stay there. You just watch them go. You do that same practice with your thoughts. And no one's perfect at it. I'm never perfect at it. Sometimes when you're sitting over those 10 minutes, it can almost feel like you've taken a vacation for a year. And sometimes it's really turbulent. That's fine. The whole benefit comes from the consistency of just sitting in stillness for 10 minutes. Again, some people do 20 every single day. And there's so much science and research, Dean, you probably know about this, to back up the incredible benefits it has from a physiological standpoint, from a neurological standpoint, and of course, from a well-being and ability to focus standpoint. The days that I miss for whatever reason, I can always feel a difference. It feels like I'm chasing my day rather than being the author of my day.
Well, and how many people go through life feel like they're chasing every minute of every day and not being the author, right? Not being this. They're just whatever, like, again, they're the thermometer. Whatever is going on in the outside world affects them rather than them controlling it. No, that's amazing. And you were going to go to number two before I made you go deep on yoga.
Yeah, absolutely. So meditation is the one thing
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay for everyone to get together. And then the other two for me are really some form of exercise and working out. Sometimes I do it in the morning. Sometimes it's just dancing around my kitchen. Sometimes I can take a class later in the day or the evening. But moving your body is so, so vital. And again, depending on where you are in the world and what the culture is like, one of the things that just drives me nuts for so many of us, especially here in the United States, it's like movement has just become not a thing people focus on. And their bodies suffer for it, their creativity suffers for it, their ability to really engage with life. And for me, I find that so much of my creativity lives inside my body. When I take a spin class or when I take a yoga class or a dance class or anything, and I'm in that state where I'm sweating, there's music pumping, I'm just moving everything, I get the most brilliant business ideas. I cannot tell you, Jane, how many times that I found myself challenged with something happening in my business or something happening in my life. And I say, you know what? I'm actually going to go sweat this out. Like I will go seek out a class.
No, I'm with you on that.
And I literally get a download. I get a download. This happened to me not even a month and a half ago. Really challenging situation, involved a lot of money, involved personal relations, it involved a lot of things. I was like, goodness, I couldn't crack it. I went to a spin class. That instant, got the download, went home, took care of the whole thing, worked out beautifully.
It's so funny. And I feel like I'm just agreeing. I literally love spin. I do spin a couple days a week. And I get some of my most, especially because they pump amazing music. They put you in this incredible state. It's like this euphoric exercise state, at least the one I go to. I love the energy of the spin. And I get some of my, I mean, literally the other day I had to jump off the bike because it was such a breakthrough. I had to run in the other room, type it in my phone really quick, and then run back into spin. I kid you not. But here's the thing. And I think, you know, for me, is if I go to spin and I'm thinking about business, it doesn't work. It's when I go to spin and let myself just be in that class, Eckhart Tolle, like I'm in the now. There's nothing before this class. There's nothing after this class. I'm just in that spin class. Yeah. And when my mind is free, my subconscious gives me what I need rather than me trying to pry it out of my brain. It just comes to me. Whether you want to believe it's enlightenment, you're at peace, it's God, whatever you believe, when you don't think about it is when the greatest gifts come. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what meditation has done for you, and I see it happening with me. So it's amazing sharing that and exercise.
Yeah. And then the third thing for me, you know, is again, in our culture, sometimes it can be challenging depending on where we are, if we're traveling a lot or just our habits and our culture of how we grew up in our family. I do my best to have a green juice every day to start to like fuel my body with vegetables and with really good clean food. And so for me, those three non-negotiables, the meditation, some form of movement, again, not every day. I'm so far from perfect. There are days when, you know, we're shooting for 14 hours that the exercise for the day is like a dance break, you know, like that happens and that's okay. And also the green juice so I can fuel my body so that it actually has the nutrients and the power that it needs to support the engaged life that I have. I think those three things, when, you know, we came back in the beginning, we were talking about, Marie, how would you advise someone to start having that confidence to take action? It all starts with how you respect and treat yourself as a human being and what your foundation is. So when you have that foundation and you're giving yourself those small gifts and those three things, they can take you 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. It doesn't have to be 3 hours every day. But if you can set aside that time and that's how you begin and you begin with those non-negotiable rituals, it's incredible how your life will start to support you because you're supporting it. You're supporting the vessel that you came here with. You're giving yourself the best chance every day to have the clearest, most loving thoughts. You're fueling your body with healthy, nutritious food. Yep. And those three things can literally be the catalyst to transform all of the stories, to transform all the things that hold us back. And so that's how I would definitely advise people to start, because it can help make you unstoppable.
No, I love it. And yes, I do a green drink at least once a day. I got a morning ritual green drink, and I took the same ingredients and I make my kids waffles every single week. And I put everything I'd put in my green shake. I put spinach and kale, ground up, sweet potatoes, quinoa. So I make it out of all that. So I'm drinking it. They're eating it almost every morning. So I'm trying to train those rituals so it's not something they have to figure out when they're older. It's just something that's a part of them, right?
That's awesome.
So let me just go back on one thing. So someone does those three. As you were talking about it, we have and I'm just going to rob Dan Sullivan's word when people fall into the gap. I'll talk to people. So I've trained people for years how to invest in real estate. That's where I got my start in my teens. And what I'll see is someone will make such great progress. They'll start the process. They got a team set up. I mean, these were people that were scared in a job, never thought they could do anything. And I'll find them and I'll get a chance to talk to them at a live event somewhere in the world. And they'll come up to me and go, Dean, I've done this. I've done that. All the negativity and my friends told me I was crazy, but I read the books, I did this, but I'm failing because I didn't finish my second deal yet, or I didn't do five deals yet, or I didn't even get my first deal yet. They, you know, we have this tendency of focusing on other people's success and making ourselves feel like failures, or this ideal perfect job, perfect deal, perfect money. And they, as Dan would call it, they fall into the gap. It's like you're chasing the horizon rather than giving yourself a pat on the back. Because you just talked about meditation, working out, and drinking a green juice. And personally, it hit me because I'm always trying to be grateful for everything and look at these little wins in my life. I do all three of those now. The meditation took me 20 years. I'm finally doing it. But I forget to go, holy crap, I start my day this way. I work out 6 days a week. I meditate 3 or 4 days a week. I do a green drink every day. And there's so many people who are doing, making great steps. Listening to this audio will make a change today, make a habit today. But if they're not a winner tomorrow or in 5 days from now, it's easy to fall in that gap and feel bad. Is there anything that you teach or have personally that say, no, I got to turn around. That's not the way I should feel.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things, Dean. One is this idea, and this is something I get really passionate about, is, you know, the word success or winning, right? What do those really mean? If we slow down and examine our own definitions of those words, it becomes so enlightening how much we've just assumed success means, you know, X amount of dollars, mm-hmm. a quote-unquote perfect body, whatever it is. And those things, honestly, it's like, first of all, we have to have the courage to define success for ourselves, and we have to make it achievable each and every day, because the exterior things are always going to change. No matter who you are and how smart you are in business, you're going to have up years and down years. And in a micro sense, you're going to have up days and down days. You know this, right? You're really smart. You're really diligent. And there's just days when, you know, the printer breaks, technology goes down, the website crashes, somebody on your team gets sick, So many things can happen. And if you hang your own feelings of fulfillment and self-worth on the exteriors of the world, you're going to be in for a miserable life. You really, really are. Because A, everything is impermanent and everything is always changing. And it goes back to that idea. It's like you become this ping pong ball. If you don't make enough money today, you're going to feel like a failure. And again, I'm absolutely with, I love making money. I love profit. I'm down with all of that. But it is paradoxical because if you focus too much on those exteriors, you never have the state of being on a consistent basis that you'll actually achieve those things. Because you're feeling so bad, you're comparing yourself to what other people have done, and you're completely ignorant of the fact that those metrics change on a daily basis, and you're never going to reach the state where it's consistent and secure and solid forever. That's just not reality. So I think it's really important for people to take a big step back. One, define success for themselves. Yeah. Don't look at other people. Like I know, Dean, you've run your company. I forget, what were the numbers? It's like 200 million or the numbers that for many of us are, whoa, dude, you know what I mean? Like those are big and those are huge. There's folks in my program. I'm like, look, if success for you looks like your business earns $60,000 a year, you have zero debt. You're living on a beautiful little parcel of land. You work, three days a week. And that for you feels absolutely like bliss at this stage in your life. You need to go for that and you need to love it.
God, I think the stress lies when people feel that when they don't have that definitive, what is success to you, right?
Yes.
And it's the gap between where you are and your own success that you can fill rather than the gap between the perfect you or comparing to someone else. I think the biggest stress is when you know, like if you know your potential and you're not living up to your own potential and what your own potential, and I'm digressing here for a minute because I'm trying to get something out, but so many, and I'm going to back up for a second, then I want to get to that point, but so many people will know exactly what they don't want, right? And I've done this for the last probably year. I'll let somebody, they'll say, I want to change. I want to get in real estate, or I want to change my life. I want to change the way I market, the way I thought. I want to be an entrepreneur. And I'll say, what do you want? And everybody will, in most cases, will tell me what they don't want.
Yes.
If you just ask 20 people, anybody listening, ask 10 people over the next 10 days what they want out of life. 9 out of 10 will tell you what they don't want. Well, I don't want a relationship like this, and I don't want a job like this. So that whole point of knowing what you want, Marie, is so powerful. And I have to tell you, just in the last 2 years of my life, I rethought what my goals were. Because, when you don't have money, I know you didn't come from a big pile of money and were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. When you don't have it, you think, that could be the goal, because then I can help other people. I can transform the world. I can take care of my family. There's security. And then you realize that's great, but what do I really want? What's the reason that I want that? And even in the last 2 years, I have a 6 and an 8-year-old. It's the greatest time of my life. 6 and 8 is magnificent. And I decided 2 years ago that I don't want to miss a beat of it. And I made a massive shift on what success means to me. When I'm going to feel loved when I just give love to my kids. I'll feel loved and successful when I'm at every practice, at every game, and I coach baseball and I go to the soccer pro. And it just changed everything for me. I have a completely different outlook on life today than I did just 18 or 24 months ago, because I redefined what my success was.
Yes. And you know what, Dean, actually, to answer your question, which I know we were kind of going around in a couple of fun places, we did a Marie TV on this not so long ago called The One Trick to Fast Track the Life That You Want. And it was answering that question because someone had asked me, I know what I want. I know what I'm working towards, but I'm, doing these jobs right now. And it was actually someone like an earlier version of me. Like you said, I did not grow up with a lot of money, very blue collar, New Jersey, Italian kind of family. We worked constantly. And when I first started my business, I didn't have any money and I was in debt. And I bartended and waited tables and cleaned people's houses and did everything that I needed to do in order to keep a roof over my head while I figured out how to build a coaching practice, when I was 23, which was insane. Who the hell's going to hire a 23-year-old life coach? It was kind of nutty. Anyway, what I told her was what actually saved me during that time, because I felt, again, like perhaps many folks listening to this are, you get that you have potential. You're getting clear on what you want. You can see the thing that you want to create, but it is clear from an external standpoint, you're not there yet. You know, it's going to take some time to create those results. And one shift that I made, and it relates to what we talked about before, this is all comes back to that being engaged in this moment. It was this practice. It was realizing that the habit that I was in at that moment was actually a habit that was going to create a lot of pain and mediocrity if I didn't break it. And it was this. It was poo-pooing this moment and wishing that I was further ahead than I was.
Wow.
So showing up at the bartending going like, oh, I shouldn't be here right now. I should be, you know, writing books. I should be doing whatever. When is this going to end? And my entire body would just be filled with angst. It would be filled with the energy of complaint. It would be filled with disengagement, apathy, all the things that are not going to create not only success in the future, but will create an absolutely miserable existence right now. And you know this, Dean, we're so much, we're habits, right? Yeah. How our lives run. And I recognize, I said, you know, if I don't break this habit of just not liking where I am, I'm never going to get to where I want to be. So I made a commitment. I said, I am going to show up in every moment like I'm meant to be there.
I love it.
Like, I'm bringing the party to this moment because this is the only moment we have in reality, right? The future never shows up as your future with a little top hat on doing a dance going like, hey, I'm your future. And the past is done. So the only place that we have to play is this moment. And so I made this commitment. I showed up at work. I was like, you know what? I'm bartending tonight. I'm going to make sure my outfit is pressed. I'm looking fine. Yep. I'm going to know all my drinks inside and out. And I'm going to deliver as much energy and enthusiasm to making these drinks, to cleaning this person's house, that I do during the day when I'm trying to figure out how to build my coaching practice. And I will tell you, Dean, that that single practice of making this moment the best moment it could possibly be was a game changer for me. And that was the habit that fast-tracked the life that I want because it did a few things. One, it taught me how to engage with enthusiasm in this moment, no matter what the moment showed up as. That gave me control because you can't control what shows up, but you can control how you meet it, right? Then, because I was training myself in being present and engaged and full of enthusiasm, all of a sudden I had more energy when I got home from those night jobs and day jobs that I was doing to keep food on the table. That more energy gave me better insights, more engagement when I was working on my business. And of course, no matter where I showed up, I was like this bright light. Yep. So people are like, hey, well, what else do you do? Well, oh yeah, well, I have this newsletter. You should get on my list and blah, 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 which was probably around the time that you and I started to get to know each other.
Yep.
So there is something super powerful that all of us can do when we find ourselves in that state of knowing there's someplace else we want to get to. We're not there yet. You know, there's some time, there's some energy, there's some things that are going to happen to make that happen. But we can take control of how we show up in each moment. And that, ironically, is the secret to fast-tracking all the results that you want.
You know, that doesn't amaze me. It doesn't shock me, I should say, but I see that in you and what a gift to give to everybody right now, because, you know, even it's funny, I just posted a picture yesterday on my Instagram. My daughter got braces at 8 years old. So I took a picture of her. She wanted me to go with her because she was like, is this going to be scary? So I went, took off work and I went, and just looking at that picture with her braces, I know so many friends when their kids are in diapers, they go, I can't wait for my kids to be out of diapers. And then when they're younger and they're the terrible twos or threes, it's like, oh, when they're four, when they're five, when they're seven, or when they can drive, when they can be independent. And it made me realize again, and I literally made a post like that. It's like, I'm going to take the best of this very moment I'm in right now. And I do it in business. And it's funny you say that, Marie, because I know for myself, I used to fix cars at 19, 20 years old. I was an auto body guy. I mean, I literally, cars would come in wrecked and I would fix the dents and paint them. And I did it. I knew there was more for me, but when I was that, I was the best body man on the planet. When I started rebuilding houses, I had 20 apartments by the time I was 20 years old. I had the pager on my side. Remember, we used to have a pager and a cell phone, or like a pager and a bag phone or whatever. Right. So I'd get a call in the middle of the night because the toilet was plugged and I'd go there and be like, hey, what's up? Because I didn't love it and I didn't want to be in it, but I did it the best. And everything I did led to somebody going, man, that that kid just gets stuff going. Why don't you do this? And I got my first loan for a first real estate gig by someone I just was super enthusiastic about that I fixed his car. And he ended up lending me $80,000 for one of my first real estate deals just months later because I did with passion. And to hear that with you, it's fantastic. And I grew up, you know, blue collar Italian, hard work ethic, had no idea where it was going to go. But besides hard work, without the enthusiasm and doing your best, you know, it's, you could run on a treadmill or run on a ladder, right? But I really appreciate you sharing that because that's such a key where someone could, that's something someone could start today. Someone could change the way they think today.
You do that. I mean, talking about like the non-negotiables in the morning where you're giving yourself that strong, incredible foundation and giving yourself roots, no matter what's happening on the outside that you can always come back to, and training yourself to bring energy and enthusiasm to everything that you do. And I'm not just talking about writing those emails or showing up at your day job or your night job or whatever it is. I'm talking about making the bed. I'm talking about brushing your teeth. Like you are brushing your teeth like it's the best thing that ever happened. And this is the party of the century. It is sounds so simple and it sounds so trite, but I guarantee if anyone tries this and gives themselves an experiment to just say, okay, I'm going to bring the party to every moment. I'm going to show up like I am meant to be here. It is profoundly transformative of how everything shifts.
Yeah. And do you ever notice when you walk into a situation, whether you walk into a meeting, walk into when you're a bartender, walk into an event where you got hundreds or thousands of people screaming or walk on getting ready to go on set. If you bring that energy, you change the entire room.
Yes.
You know, and here's one thing I talked about. I shared this in my course. So Brendan is a good friend of both of ours. And I consider Brendan an extrovert. That guy goes in a room and he's just so full of energy and love. And he's just big, right? And he's getting, his voice is getting bigger and louder. And I see that. And I also know that if he goes in a room of 10 people in 10 minutes, the guy's kind of running the room, right? And I also know that I am a little different the way I approach things. I go in a little quieter, but I also know that my confidence and my energy is pure and I bring it. And the only reason I'm saying that, and this is one of the last questions I want to ask, I think people sometimes equate confidence with being an extrovert. You have to be loud and big and bold. And I love the term quiet confidence. Like when I'm around you, I'm just saying, and we've seen each other through the years, I knew where you were going because you exude, whether you get nervous when they turn on the camera or not, I know where you want to go. I know you want to help change people's lives. But you just have this quiet confidence aura that you give, and it's so attractive. And that's not something you're born with. I digress. My questions, I know, are all over the place, and you're so much better at this than me. But I want to get it out of you don't have to be an extrovert. You could still have quiet confidence, and you could still do things enthusiastically without being big and bold and being the loudest person in the room.
Oh, 100%. First of all, you're not bad at this, Dean. It's great. And I think anyone who's listening has an entrepreneurial, creative spirit. And most people that I know that are entrepreneurial in their spirit or creative human beings, they're very used to being all over the place too, because that's how their minds work and that's how they're wired, their DNA. And I do want to speak to that a bit because it's a question I get asked a lot. Most people absolutely will say, no, this is not the truth when they see Marie TV or see anything that they do, but they don't understand. I'm actually not that extroverted. I'm not. I get so engaged in what I do, but when I show up in social settings, a lot of times it's like I feel equally as uncomfortable and awkward. I will prefer a small, like, four-person dinner to some big event every single day of the week. And I personally need a lot of alone time and downtime and just quiet time to recharge. So I completely agree with you. Bringing your A game and bringing energy and enthusiasm doesn't mean that you're doing cartwheels into the room. It doesn't mean that you're like, hey, woo, let's have a dance party. That is not it. It means that you're fully present,
right?
That your mind and your body are in the same place, that you are bringing a sense of excellence and care and love and attention to that which you do. You don't have to speak loudly. You don't have to tell jokes. You don't have to come in and wow everyone and work the room. I don't do that. And I'm not saying that style is wrong. What I'm saying is that there are so many different ways to show up, and how you show up authentically, when you're present and when you're fully there and you want to be there, that is a gift that will not only transform your life, but it will make this ripple effect on everyone that has the opportunity and the privilege to be with you.
Marie, what a great way to come towards the end here. That was exactly on my heart, because I think that's one of the myths that we tell ourselves, if I was more that outgoing person. So to have you share that, exactly what my thoughts were, I appreciate it. So two more quick things. You're going on camera, you're a little nervous, you're scared going out there, or you're going on a big stage event. Somebody wants to go talk to their spouse about something they've been scared about, or start that new business, or just that quick like hack. Is there any hack that you have that when you're down or your state's off, you could do something in just 2 minutes, 3 minutes before you walk in that boardroom or walk on stage, or however that's relevant to everybody listening?
Yes. So there's one little thing that I will say to myself when I get myself in a tizzy, which I think we all do from time to time, and we feel off. I will repeat this, and I'll say it sometimes out loud, and I do say it on set. I got this.
Nice. I like this.
And it's just simple, and I'll just take a deep breath, and I say, I got this.
I like
and
that.
I release complete control. You know, I do believe in a higher power. I do believe that there is more intelligence around us than that just exists in our own bodies and our own, you know, little chemical makeup. And so I pull in that energy. I release to that energy. I surrender to that energy. And I just say, I got this. So I pull in all the support and I let it go.
I love it. And last thing, what are you most excited about right now?
Honestly, I am most excited about I have so many fun things to do today, and it happens to be really bright and sunny here in New York, and we've had a really challenging winter this time around.
You sure did.
So I'm actually excited to be in the sunshine. I am excited to work on, we have a lot of different creative projects that we're bringing to life right now with different video shoots and photo shoots. So I have lots of things to kind of play with and tear into. And I'm just really excited. I'm excited about the weather. I'm excited about talking to you. I'm excited about the rest of my day.
Well, Marie, thank you so much. You shared so many amazing pearls, and everybody listening, you could stop, go back. I mean, some of the things shared today were just instant things you could add into your life for a difference in your state of mind, in your courage, and your confidence to take that leap or take that step to that life that you that we desire and deserve in most cases. So, Marie, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here, Dean.
Keep up the good work.
Hey, it's Dean, and I just wanted to say once again, thanks for having faith in me. If you're going through the Winning State of Mind or my Abundance course right now, or you read my Totally Fulfilled book, I hope you see that I just want to create these recipes to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And right now, I want to see if you want to join the DG Challenge. What is that? You see, I know so many times in life, we get excited, we get a course, we go to a live event, and we get the wisdom, we get the capabilities, and we get excited, but then life kind of reels us back in. It gobbles us up. And we go right back to where we were. And I don't want that to happen to you. So if you'd like the opportunity to work with one of my personally trained success coaches, I want to give you this challenge. I'm not sure if you've been watching me on TV for over 15 years now. I can't believe it, even saying that out loud. Or maybe you just learned about me. I want to let you know I've produced some of the greatest TV shows that have ever been seen. Plus, I'm all over the internet. And if you've watched my success stories, it's people whose lives were just, you know, maybe they were smiling on the outside and sad on the inside, or their backs were against the wall and they needed a change, or they were making a lot of money but sad, or no money and happy, and they wanted a fulfilled life, a next level life. And I got to provide that for them. And I want to do that for you. If you're someone ready to take your life to the next level, if you would love to be on one of my next TV shows showing a transformation of where you are and us helping you, giving you these little shifts and keeping you accountable for the actions and the habits and the beliefs you have, then maybe you would be perfect to work with one of my highly trained success coaches. And the only way you could do that is to take the DG Challenge. If you're ready for that next level of life and you don't want to go back to where you were, you want to stay on fire or go to that next level, then do this. Right now, you can click the link below and schedule an appointment to talk to one of my consultants. Or if you're ready to talk to someone right now, call the 800 number below, and what we'll do is make sure we get you on the phone right away with a consultant who can see where you are, where you want to go, why you want it, and how we can help guide you to get there. And I'd love for you to accept the DG Challenge and be on one of my next TV shows, or be online with me to show the world how with just tiny little shifts, you can make a massive impact on your life and take it to that next level. I'm Dean Graziosi. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to assist you. I'd love for you to be one of these. And we're only working with about 250 people this year. So if you'd like the chance to be one of them, then click the link below, schedule an appointment, or call right now and get you on the phone with one of my consultants. I'm Dean Graziosi. I'll talk to you soon.